Chapter 65. The Frecce Argento's restroom was no larger than the restroom on a commercial airliner, with barely enough room to turn around. The man with the skin rash finished his phone call with the provost and pocketed his phone. The ground has shifted, he realized. The entire landscape was suddenly upside down, and he needed a moment to get his bearings. My friends are now my enemies. The man loosened his paisley tie and stared at his pustuled face in the mirror. He looked worse than he thought. His face was of little concern, though, compared to the pain in his chest. Hesitantly, he unfastened several buttons and pulled open his shirt. He forced his eyes to the mirror and studied his bare chest. Jesus! The black area was growing. The skin on the center of his chest was a deep hue of bluish-black. The area had begun last night as the size of a golf ball, but now it was the size of an orange. He gently touched the tender flesh and winced. Hurriedly, he rebuttoned his shirt, hoping he would have the strength to carry out what he needed to do. The next hour will be critical, he thought. A delicate series of maneuvers. He closed his eyes and gathered himself, working through what needed to happen. My friends have become my enemies, he thought again. He took several deep, painful breaths, hoping it might calm his nerves. He knew he needed to stay serene if he was going to keep his intentions hidden. Inner calm is critical to persuasive acting. The man was no stranger to deception, and yet his heart was pounding wildly now. He took another deep, throbbing breath. You've been deceiving people for years, he reminded himself. It's what you do. Steeling himself, he prepared to return to Langdon and Siena. My final performance, he thought. As a final precaution before exiting the restroom, he removed the battery from his cell phone, making sure the device was now inoperative. He looks pale, Siena thought as the man with the rash re-entered the cabin and settled into his seat with a pained sigh. Is everything okay? Siena asked. Genuinely concerned. He nodded. Thanks, yes, everything's fine. Apparently, having received all the information the man intended to share, Siena changed tacks. I need your phone again, she said. If you don't mind, I want to keep searching for more on the Doge. Maybe we can get some answers before we visit St. Mark's. No problem, he said, taking his phone from his pocket and checking the display. Ah, damn. My battery was dying during that call. Looks like it's dead now. He glanced at his watch. We'll be in Venice soon. We'll just have to wait. 5 miles off the coast of Italy, aboard the Mendacium, Facilitator Knowlton watched in silence as the provost stalked around the perimeter of the cubicle like a caged animal. Following the phone call, the provost's wheels were clearly turning, and Knowlton knew better than to utter a sound while the provost was thinking. Finally, the deeply tanned man spoke, his voice as tight as Knowlton could remember. We have no choice. We need to share this video with Dr. Elizabeth Sinsky. Knowlton sat stock still, not wanting to show his surprise. The silver-haired devil? The one we've helped Zobrist evade all year? Okay, sir. Should I find a way to email the video to her? God, no. And risk leaking the video to the public? It would be mass hysteria. I want Dr. Sinsky aboard this ship as soon as you can get her here. Knowlton stared in disbelief. He wants to bring the director of the WHO on board the Mendacium? Sir, this breach of our secrecy protocol obviously risks... Just do it, Knowlton. Now!